With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Faith is not natural, it's spiritual. When your spirit is leading your whole man, you're probably in faith. If you're being led by needs, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. If you're being led by opportunity, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Come on. If you're being led by feelings, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. If you're being led by your body, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Well, brother, you got to have wisdom. I am giving you wisdom. We line everything up with the revelation and the truth that is developed in us through the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. We line everything up with that, and we can stand as a whole man in faith. Now turn to Mark 11, and we're going to go to verse 22. We're going to start today. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but the days of coming to church to be entertained are over. Amen. We are coming to be changed, to be transformed, so God can live His life through us to help a dying world, to feed a hungry world, to give spiritual water and physical water to a world that is thirsty.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, either could be. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, where? Not in his head, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Now who's speaking here?
Jesus.
No matter what translation you go through, it's going to say basically the same thing. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart, that what you say is, we'll find out later, the will of God, then it'll be done for you. Because the only time that you truly have doubt in your inner man is whether or not you know it's God's will. So what would come before the prayer for the person who's thoughtful? Finding out if what I'm asking for is God's will. And you could do that through the Word, and you do that through revelation in your spirit. Amen. Verse 24 says, this is Jesus speaking, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be done for you. And guys, people took this scripture and we camped on it, and out of that came what was called a word of faith movement. And praise the Lord, it was wonderful for a season. But here's what happened. People became more about the method than they did the Holy Spirit. They became more about the confession and the profession than they did Jesus being seen through them. So this isn't a matter of trying to get our confession to work or our prayers to work. I don't even need to worry about my desires, because the Bible says if I delight myself in Him, He'll give me the desires of my heart. I don't have to toil after the things like your bill. You don't either. You don't have to toil to pay your bills or to have a house or to have clothes. The Bible says if you seek first the kingdom of God, He'll give you all these things. So the faith that we are discussing today is faith for you to transform the world around you. Not necessarily put food in your cupboard, because that should be just because your lifestyle is chasing after Him. Amen? All right. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Where is the believer in a spiritual matter? Is it in your skin? Is it in your head? Or is it in your heart? It's in your heart. Understand, you can never be in faith if there isn't the opportunity to doubt in your head. You can know that you know that you know, but if you put it down on paper, it doesn't make sense. Now you have an opportunity to be in faith. It's just like you can't be in submission unless there's the opportunity to choose another path. Jesus said in the garden when He submitted, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So there were two wills that were a possibility for Jesus to walk out. Come on. And he was in submission. You can't be in submission unless you have the opportunity to go your own way in a thing and the desire for it. You can't be in faith unless the opportunity is there to have some doubt in your head. So the faith that Jesus is talking about is faith that exists in our heart. And he said the kingdom of God is with you. Just right in John around this same time, he said the kingdom of God is with you and soon will be in you. So we operate by that kingdom that is within us. Okay, now faith. Faith does not live in the past. I want to say three things and then we're going to go on to the gist of the ministry. Faith does not live in the past. Faith is eternal because it's spiritual. Faith does not live in the past. It's eternal. So if you think that your future, if you continue to say, well, God, but... because this is what happened in the past over and over and over again. This is what happened in the past. Or this is what I can expect because this is what I was taught in the past. Or I've messed up so bad now to this point, God, you can't do the things that you've called me to do. Then you are letting your past affect your future. And faith doesn't do that because faith is based in the eternal, which is out of time. It's something that was established before the foundation of the world, like Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But when was he slain? Some 2,000 years ago. Yes, in time. So faith, come on now, faith is eternal. And if I were going to tell you how it works in my life, and it probably works the same in yours, it's something on the inside of you that no matter how bad you mess up, no matter how many good things you do, no matter how much people tell you you should do something a certain way, this thing on the inside won't go away. Yeah. So that's what you base your faith on. Yeah. And see, you've lined it up with the Word. You know it's in the Word too, because the Spirit and the Word always agree. Now you've got something that you base your faith on. Now you've got something that becomes the profession of your faith, the confession of faith for you, out of the abundance of your heart. Is that making sense? So you can't let your past dictate your future, whether it's a faith failure, you may think, or the devil has labeled it, or whether it is something somebody told you, something somebody prophesied about you, confessed over you, and what people have said to you every place that you've worked about yourself and your conduct. Those things cannot dictate your future if you are in faith, because faith has to do with the eternal. I heard a preacher say this the other day, and I just loved it. He said that he started in Hebrews 11, and this is one of the things that I've heard in the circles that kind of bug me. He says, now faith is. And he said, well, faith is now. Well, hold on now. Faith is not now because time will always disappoint you. Right? Faith is eternal. So when I step into eternity, I do that. I'm going to do that. And so are you. You're going to step. You're connected to it now. It's in you. But listen, you're going to step into eternity when you shed this suit we call a body. Or when you're in faith. Elijah and Enoch experienced both. Faith causes you to step into eternity. And you pull the thing out that was there before the foundation of the earth. And you pull it into this area. That's what prayer is. You're obtaining the promises of God through faith. Obtaining doesn't mean you're begging. Obtaining, a petition in the biblical sense has, if you go into the Greek, to petition or prayer in this sense specifically, has the indication that it is a demand. Not a demand as if you're telling God what to do, but a demand as if you've already got the check written, I'm going to the bank and cashing it. You never tell God what to do as if you're going to rule over Him because you know His will. He gave you His will. And so you're demanding to pull it from eternity into now because it's already been given. That's why we're saved by grace, which has already been given before you were born, before you did anything right, before you did anything wrong. But through faith, you made the demand and salvation was yours, became a reality. And you knew it, you experienced it, and it's in your life. This is good preaching. Faith is now, not because of the sequential timeline. Faith is now because you step out of now into eternity by faith and you bring it into existence. I'm telling you, God wants to do such amazing things for you. Faith does not live in the future. Faith doesn't live in the past, and faith doesn't live in the future. Because the future will disappoint you, guys. The Bible says, by His stripes I am what? Well, if I say God's healing me, I mean, that's good. That's a good bridge. But if God's healing me, I'm never going to get to that place of healing, not by the power of God. Come on. If because Jesus became poor on the cross, He decided now that He is going to be my provider, I'm never going to step into that abundant provision that He has for me until I understand. Come on. If it's, yeah, God is, I'm going to be a millionaire in Christ Jesus so I can bless the nations of the world. That's shallow thinking. That's narrow-minded. No, it's bigger than that. If I can flow in millions, if I can flow in billions, now I can do something for the kingdom. I mean, seriously, do something. Come on. People have needs. And we need to get that flow to them. Not about us. Pastor Nijs and I own almost nothing now. And that's all right with us because God takes good care of us. Amen. And we will have an inheritance for our children's children because the Word of God promises it. But I'm rich right now. I'm rich right now. I know I am. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, prosperity so I can go get a new truck or a new car or a new house. I'm talking about a flow of provision to the nations, a flow of provision to this neighborhood, a flow of provision to this city, a flow of provision to those who are hungry. So they don't have to go to the government's ungodly system, but they can go to the church, which is God's system, to provide for those who are in need, whether they're old or they're sick or they're weak. Praise the Lord. Faith doesn't live in the future because the future is sequential. And you know what happens? If your faith is based in the future keeps moving. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
What was just a minute ago is not anymore. So my faith has to, if I'm living in the future, my faith has to keep getting pushed out there.
That's true.
Faith is, it's eternal. And when I step into eternity through faith, come on now, then I pull the things that God has for me. And He didn't just say, oh, I need to get them together. They already were before the foundation of the world. I pull them from eternity into right now. That's why if you learn, if God conforms, you allow the anointing to transform your mind, it's not a matter of what you have and how you feel. You become content in all things, whether abasting or abounding. Let me give you some natural examples. Most men, who they call self-made men in the United States in the last 100 years, have become what they, their financial wealth has come when they are 50 years or older. Did you know that? And most of them have failed in business 3 or 4 times. And when they got the revelation of what they were, some of them even lost through stock markets plunging, through the Great Depression, lost everything they had. But did you know in just a few years they had it back? Because they knew how to get there. They knew who they were. Once you know who you are, nobody can take it from you. Once you know who you are, despite the circumstances and situations, you will arrive at the point that you know that you are. The only thing that's in there between the distance of arriving and is eternity. Okay. You know, people can be in the hospital, and if they think there's no hope of healing, they'll die. If there's no hope, no expectation, no image on the inside, they'll die. You go in there, you lay hands on them, you impart the anointing of God, which creates a picture of health, and you know they feel the anointing flow through them, they're going to live. But if they don't want to live, they got no picture. Or they're putting it off to the future, the future, the future. It's eternal, man. It's already there. It's eternal. It's in your inner man. Just got to grab a hold of it. Now, faith lives victoriously. Okay, faith doesn't live in the past. Faith doesn't live in the future. Faith lives victoriously in the present. Everybody say that with me. Faith lives victoriously in the present. So I live victoriously in the present. That's what your confession is. I live victoriously in the present. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm up against. Yes, well, I don't know specifically, but I know that Jesus was tempted in all ways that you're tempted. I know the Apostle Paul went through some pretty tough stuff. You have to live victorious. If you're going to live in victory in the sequential future, then you have to live in victory right now. Right now, the way you feel, the situations are, whatever it is, you still have to live victoriously right now, because that's what an eternal man does. That's what a faith man does. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin the message, because there's some meat here. I've got about 10, 15 scriptures for you. Praise the Lord. If you've got your roast in the oven, just consider it a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, He, I'm putting in this, my words, Jesus, who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus became sin with our sin on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, turn there. 1 Peter 2:24. Because now we're... 2 Corinthians 5:21 is an eternal promise. 1 Peter 2:24 is a sequential scripture, because it speaks of time, of having happened. Listen, I don't know if you were here Wednesday night or not, but this is the faith man is digital. And a spiritual man is like operating on an 8-track tape or a cassette or reel to reel. You can get to where you want to go, but you got to go through the material. You remember the old 8-track tapes? You remember the cassettes? It was a great deal when you didn't have to pull it out and flip it over. That was cool when it would do it by itself. But you know, digital just says, okay, I want this song, boom, and it's there. That's the way faith is. Faith works. Almost, I mean, it's even a shallow, but it's shallow compared to what I want to say. Faith is digital, but most people live in a sequential. And this 1 Peter 2:24 is sequential. It says, on the cross, Jesus bore your sin in his body, so you could die to sin and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you've been healed. So you take the promise we find in Isaiah 53. We take the fulfillment that is being spoken of eternally in 2 Corinthians 5:21. But now we tie it into sequentially, it had already happened. So you become the righteousness of Christ. When? When Jesus died on the cross. When did you receive it? When? By faith. And here's the sad thing. You could be going to heaven and not have the faith that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You could be a king, but if you didn't know the kingdom belonged to you, you're going to live like a pauper. A pauper. Come on. You could have $1 million of inheritance, and I'm only using money as an example because it touches everybody's lives. You could have $1 million in an inheritance, but not know the inheritance is yours. And you'll live poor all of your life. Yet the money was there for you, maybe even before you were born. Come on. So, sequentially, what would have to happen for you to have an inheritance? Somebody would have to have it, and somebody would have to write down on a piece of paper when they died, it belongs to you. You could have that happen, and you could even know of it, but if you don't have the faith to go to the attorney's office and get the thing transferred, and you don't have the faith to go to the bank, oh, they never give me any money. I never get any money at that bank. I'm not going to that bank. But yet all the money's in that bank. You're never going to enjoy your inheritance. Faith lives victoriously in the present. All right, let me get you to a point that I think where I'm trying to get you today by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever missed an entry in your checkbook and on a Saturday or a holiday you find out that you're in the red and you got NSF charges? Anybody ever done that besides me? All right. The person who doesn't have faith, because let's say they have the check in their hand, but they didn't make it to the bank. The person that isn't in faith, it's very simplistic, guys. He's not going to enjoy his Saturday, Sunday, and his Monday holiday because he's got an NSF charge. But the person that has faith says, well, that's all right. It's just $15 short of this check. I only lost $15. I get this in there on Tuesday. I'm going to be okay. No problem. And then they enjoy Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That is part of being victorious in the midst of trials and tribulations. And see, Jesus hasn't given you a check. He's given you everything that belongs to the Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But I can't enjoy my holiday. Fool. Get into eternity and do it. Amen. All right, go to Mark chapter 7. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know, I don't want to go to that scripture yet. I want to go to another scripture. Let's do something first. Go to Galatians chapter 3. You are, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is He going to be cleansing you of your sin, or has He cleansed you of your sin? Yes. Do you still sin? Yes. Is He counting it against you? No. Who's counting it against you? You are. Satan's trying to make sure. He's feeding that thing. He's fertilizing that thing. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to Him and confess the sin so He can cleanse you of the guilt in unrighteousness. So He can cleanse you. You have to go to... It's not like you're informing Him you did it. He already knows. What you're doing is going to Him and say, your way's right, my way's wrong. And then He cleanses you of the guilt through the blood of Jesus. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And that word children is not literally the word children. In the Greek, it is the word sons. And that's important because God is making a point in this particular scripture. If you are a son of God, then you have a right to the inheritance. Guys, in this culture, women did not have a right to the inheritance. Why is that important? Because people will live like daughters of God that are sons of God. Part of the royal family. But they don't receive. But this scripture tells us some other things too. So in Christ, you are all sons of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. So see, these people have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Whether or not they're going to receive, it's up to them. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, and there is neither male or female, for all are one in Christ. So ladies, we're not saying because the original text says sons that you don't have an inheritance. But if you're going to let your gender determine whether or not you're going to receive from God, you need to get in the scripture and get the revelation. There is no gender for a son of God. Yes, in the household, the husband has the ultimate responsibility. Oh, and the wife has to be in submission as unto the Lord. Okay, we know that. And we know there's some things in the church that we have to do. But when you approach God the Father, you're approaching Him in the rights of the firstborn son, whether you're male or female. Praise the Lord. I think that's good myself. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are all sons of God if you can receive that by faith. Now go to Romans chapter 8. How can I stand in faith right now? Because I don't have. How can I stand in faith right now? Well, first you got to understand God's pleased with you. Anything that you have messed up, He has cleansed. So if you feel there's something between you and God, confess the thing and get it out of the way between you and God. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll forgive your sin. He'll throw it as far as the east is from the west. Now you can stand as a son of God when you talk to Him. A son that has pleased the Father. Well, you know, I even say it myself. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear, well done, son. And I've got to renew my mind that in His eyes, I already have the well done. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. So these who we're talking about, sons of God, are not living in the past, they're not living in the future, they're living victoriously in the present. They understand in the present they are the righteousness of God in Christ. They understand in the present that they have the rights of a son. They understand that they are cleansed, pleasing. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit, that's a capital S, meaning the Spirit of God, Himself testifies with our spirit, that's a small s, that we are children of God. Now, that's sons in the Greek. Now, if we are sons, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. You'll never be in the place of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. He is your elder brother and He always will be your elder brother. But your elder brother becomes your Lord and He shares with you the inheritance of the kingdom. You're a co-heir with Him. You are a son of the Most High God. Guys, do you have to die to get your inheritance? The one who leaves the inheritance dies. If that were the way it was, God would say that we are not to pray that the way things are in heaven, we'd come to earth, we would pray that we get to heaven sooner. Yeah. You know, people are going to open their eyes in the presence of the Lord and they're going to be saying, wow, ah, and they're going to say, okay, when do I get out? He says, I already gave it to you. What'd you do with it? Praise the Lord. If we're going to live victoriously in the present, we have to see ourselves as sons of God that is pleasing to God, that we have no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle. How do you know if you have one of those? The Holy Spirit will convict you. You get right in there and say, you need to take care of this. You need to shore up this area. You need to strengthen that area. And then you know what confession is? It's acknowledging, okay, I hear you. You're right. I'm wrong. And then He cleanses you of anything between you and Him. All right, go to Romans chapter 8. Are we there?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8. We're already there?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I like this chapter. Verse 35. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, yet we are considered sheep to be a slaughter. And so many Christians stop there. Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Yes, there's going to be suffering. But when these things come upon me, I'm not going to be limited to that. If I'm going to live victoriously right now in the present, it shouldn't matter if I'm in a dungeon in the middle of the night, chained up with Silas. I'm going to praise the Lord because I know He will make His promises come to pass in my life. So I'm not living in the present circumstance like the Apostle Paul and Silas were. I'm living in the eternal. And when I do that, when it gets abundance of my heart and it comes out of my mouth, I tap into the eternal and all of a sudden an earthquake shakes the prison. And I'm loosed. Yet even though I'm loosed, I don't want to escape without salvations. And the jailer comes and he throws himself on the ground and he says, what must I do to be saved? He says, you need to confess your sins, be baptized, and you and your whole household will be saved. Praise the Lord. Verse 37, when you're in that situation, you say, no, I'm not going to be just a sheep led to slaughter. No, I'm not just going to be persecuted day after day after day. No, in all things, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves me. See, I'm eternally connected with Him, and so are you. He lives in you, and you live in Him. He said that the Father and He would come and make their abode, their living place within you. Everywhere you go, God goes. So what does it matter if it's dark? You walk into darkness, light is there. What matters if the kingdom of hell has set up gates? It doesn't matter because it won't prevail against you and the Anointed One who lives in you. Yes, but they slap me. Yes, but they beat me. What difference does it make? I know who I am. And I live victoriously through the day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's going to get better. Are you ready? So you are more than a conqueror. A conqueror does the fighting. You're the one who reaps the rewards of the battle. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I just read it. No, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious in all things. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, that's really good, guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 18. How do I live victoriously in today when everything doesn't look like I'm being victorious? I don't live in today. I conquer today. I take ground today. I'm not just standing and defending the ground that I've already taken. I'm continually taking. I'm not taking ground from God. I'm taking ground from Satan. I'm taking things back that Satan has stolen. I'm reestablishing God's kingdom in my life and in the life of others around me. So I'm not living in today. Praise the Lord. You can't live in tomorrow if you don't have hope for tomorrow. And you can't live past tomorrow unless you understand who have you become. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all who have unveiled faces, talking about those who have the anointing abiding in them, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All right, what am I saying? You're not going to go from one victory into a big hole. That's not God's plan for you. And some people self-sabotage. They sabotage themselves. They sabotage relationships. They sabotage jobs. And they don't even know it because things are going too good. So they have to mess it up because they don't think they deserve the good. Anybody ever done that besides me? And find yourself in a pattern of sabotaging your life because it's going too good. Listen, once you get the picture, God doesn't want you going from the valley to the mountaintop. He wants you to go from this hill to this higher hill, from this hill to this higher hill, from this hill to this mountain, from this mountain to this mountain peak. He takes you from glory to glory. Does that mean that I'm going to have times in my life that doesn't seem like I'm on the mountaintop? Well, sure it does, but how do you consider it? Where do you line it up in your life? If you become unchanged by the circumstances and situations and the feelings around you and coming from your mind and your body, and you become eternal in your thoughts, thinking out of your spirit, not out of your head. Should I say that again? Thinking out of your spirit and not out of your head. You're going to live a life of faith that goes from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Didn't Jesus say that He calls the angels to do what? To lift you up so you don't stub your toe on a ripple in the road. And they lift you up and cause the rough places to become smooth. He can plow out mountains so you can make this thing happen. There is nothing on this earth, under this earth, or in heaven that will keep you from the love of Jesus Christ that is in you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Turn to Mark chapter 7. You go from glory to glory. You live in victorious. You'll be victorious right now, today. I'm not talking about it, guys. This is not mental ascent. This is not think positively and your life is going to be positive. This is called being a spiritual man. It's not in your head. You tell your head what to think by your faith. Your faith is developed by the Word of God. Well, I don't want to live a life like that. Then go be poor somewhere else. Go suffer over at the First Church of the Frozen Chosen. Listen, we're going to go through the same things they're going through, but we're going through victoriously.
Yeah.
We're going to go through, not with a better attitude, but with a different altitude. Because we're going to be above the storm that's affecting everybody else. And there's a storm coming, guys. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. This is speaking of Jesus, and this is the way you are to be. We're to let Christ be developed in us. People were overwhelmed and amazed. He has done everything well. The King James says everything excellently and well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. If you're going to live victoriously, whether you have a dollar in your checkbook or negative 10, you're going to do everything you do excellently and well. You're going to do it to the best of your ability. You're going to do it as if it were unto the Lord. You're not going to come to the church and you're going to lift up a rug and sweep the dirt underneath the rug, because your conscience and your spirit won't let you do that. Come on. You don't cut a corner and you put putty somewhere when you can go make another cut so it'll line up. Are you hearing me? Everything that we do excellently and we do well. We don't cheat at the job. We don't cheat in our marriage. We don't cheat our children out of the time that they should have. We do everything that we do excellently and well. You want to know what? Listen, you want to know what that does? It allows you to live right now victoriously. If you're going to live, live. If you're going to run, run fast. If you're going to jump, jump high. If you're going to dance, dance with all your might like David did. Do it with all of your might. Do it with all of your strength. Do it with all of your being. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your might, and all your soul. That's the first command. If you're going to live for God, live it with all that you got. Praise the Lord. So we're seated with him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk to you about where you pray from. Because if you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to not live in today. You're not going to live in tomorrow. You're not going to live in the past. You're going to live victoriously in the present. And the present is a place that the Holy Ghost creates in you with an image. And it doesn't have to do with sequential timing. See, I am successful, and so are you. Not because of what I have done sequentially, but because of what Jesus did before the foundation of the world. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I had to receive that by faith. And when those two connected, now I am in the present. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You get what I'm trying to say? Everything in Christ works the way when you got saved. You got saved because you bent your knee, you bowed your heart, and you let Jesus be the Lord of your life. And a good Lord, and He is, will always take care of His children, His servants, His friends. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to baptize you. That's what Jesus does. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, thank God for mercy, mercy withholds the things that you deserve. Grace gives you the things you don't deserve. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ Jesus and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show or display the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a mouthful right there. First off, I want to talk about position. Because this thing will change your life if you get it. I remember one time when I was in North Omaha, I was maybe 11 years old. We were getting bussed. We got bussed to a white school. And so, you know, it was tensions were high at that time. And I got in a little dispute with a kid and got off the bus and cleaned his clock. And then as soon as I stood up, I had about 40 kids whomping on me. 40 of them. Oh, my goodness gracious. My face looked like a pumpkin, you know. And in that time, you could say, oh, woe is me. Of course, I was thinking, oh, woe is me at the time, you know. But if you understand where you are, it doesn't matter if they're beating on you. Do you understand? If you understand from the place that we are seated, the circumstances and situations that you're going through at that moment, it doesn't matter. Because they're just temporal. They're temporary. Do you get it? I believe Martin Luther King had a picture of this. In his I Have a Dream speech, he knew. It didn't matter he was in his 60s, he knew what was coming. And I'll tell you, we're getting there. I mean, he's just rejoicing in me. And he knows where our president came from in his ethnicity. He was living the dream before the dream came into a reality. Are you getting it? And that's where we should understand. We're not going to be seated with Him in heavenly realms. We are seated with Him in heavenly realms. So when somebody begins to speak cruelly to you or about you, or if there's an attack on your body or finances or business, all you got to remember is where you are seated. It is the highest place in heaven, above all rule, power, dominion, and might, and name that can be named or ever will be named. That is the place that we pray from and declare things, from the throne of Jesus Christ. You're not sitting on a little throne next to Him. You're seated in Him, in heavenly realms. And that picture alone can cause you to live victoriously in the present. The circumstance, it didn't matter if the circumstances are wonderful or if they're terrible, fearful. Do you understand? You can be in the midst of a crowd of 30 or 40 peers taking a kick at your head, but if you know where you're seated, it doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul did this. I mean, it just amazes me. He said he got beat twice, and then the third time he realized where he was seated. And you know, they're just getting, he put him back and tear his cloak off, and they put his back out there, and they're getting ready to hit him. And he says, "Now hold on. Is it legal for you to beat a Roman citizen?" All of a sudden, everything got quiet. And hush, hush. And one guy went over and he said, "Can we beat a Roman citizen?" And then the guy says, "Well, I had to pay a great price for my citizenship. How did you get yours?" "I was born a citizen." "Oh, you were born a citizen of Rome. Oh my gosh, forgive us, please. You know, get you some water, get you some wine, get you to sit down. Can we get you a meal? We're so sorry. You were born into the kingdom of God. You're not waiting like a prince to be seated as a king. The Word of God says you are a king. Jesus is the King of kings." Praise the Lord. I could just dance. Hallelujah. Let me find that scripture for you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. It gets you stretched out, and if you step into living victoriously in the present, do you realize that every demon, every angel has to submit to the name of Jesus, and they've got to listen to you by faith? Because you're returning God's word to him. Remember, your authority doesn't last, or doesn't exist because of your great intellect or your talent or the time that you've put in. The authority that you have is only under Jesus and in Jesus. But it is complete. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." God's, I love this. God's, you are God's special possession. Cherished possession. You know, we got a couple of little artifact things that we buy when we go on a vacation. And we put them up in this little glass hutch thing. You know, they're special because memories go with it. But, you know, if one of the kids get it out and they're, "Oh, you put that back up in there, that's special." Mom had china my dad got from Vietnam when he was over there. And I'm telling you, we only got it out 3 times a year. And we weren't allowed to wash it, thank God. Mom had to wash it because it was special. So I always say, "Can we use the china tonight?" No, because I didn't want to wash them. You are God's special position, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. You are a royal, you're not going to become one, guys. You're a royal priesthood who speaks from the throne of God when you stand victoriously in the present. Now go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. See, Satan's trying, he has been feeding your image of a weak Christian in you. He goes over time to fertilize and to water the image that he put in you, that you're a nobody going nowhere, can't do anything, only relying upon the scraps from the master's table. No, he has seated you at that table and prepared a banquet for you. Praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And you have made them, everybody say them. I'm reading this out of the Amplified, by the way. You have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth. Wow. He's the King of Kings. He's not going to be the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he said, therefore, you go. In my name, cast out demons. In my name, heal the sick. See, you go with that authority. You are a king of a kingdom. You are representing the kingdom. You're an ambassador from the kingdom. No, I'm just a street sweeper. Well, then, sweep the street with excellence. So all heaven and earth says, wow. When that guy sweeps, it's like an artist painting a brush. Do everything excellently and well. And watch God promote you and promote you and promote you and promote you. Praise the Lord. Those are good scriptures right there, aren't they? Go to, we did Galatians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'd like to read that one again. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. These next four scriptures are awesome. Deuteronomy chapter 31. You understand your faith just can't come out of the air. It's got to come out of the Word. And it produces an image of who you are on the inside. Yeah. You know, a son of God, somebody who's a royal priest said, do you think they should walk around with their head down to the ground and, you know, their arms like this and, you know, as if they're looking for a nickel to get by? No, a son of God should put his shoulders back, you know, and he should have a little, not arrogance, he should have a little bit of, he should have a little toot about him. He should know what's his. Come on. Yeah. You know, when a man in the natural world knows who he is, or a woman knows who she is, you know, whether it's their position in a company, they walk in the front door differently than somebody who's just going there to collect a paycheck. Whether it's in a government seat, or it's in a courtroom, or it's at a social gathering. If you know who you are, you should walk in like you know who you are, so you can live victoriously in the present. I am a son of God. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. I am a cherished possession of his. His eye is upon me. His ears are attentive to my prayer. He wants me to bring forth the kingdom in victory and power so that the goodness of his kindness is displayed in my life to the world around him. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Well, we're going to have to work on that shield of favor. Favor is an incredibly powerful force in our lives. When God's favor is upon you, listen. When God's favor is upon you, men have to fight themselves to fight you. They have to fight themselves to dislike you. When God's favor is upon you, then that means God has gone ahead of you and predisposed men to give you the things that you need. He already went in advance and he went in advance and did this for you. You know, favor can get you everything from discounts to deals to just natural favor. A police officer, when you accidentally ran that red light over there on 19th Street, favor can cause you not to get the ticket. Come on, favor can get the judge to suspend a sentence. I'm serious now. Favor can cause you to get the best of every deal, even when you're trying to bless the other guy. Favor is one of the most powerful forces available in the blessing. And God's favor goes before you and it goes before me. If I'm going to live victoriously in the present when I walk into the room, I got to understand that God went ahead of me. Listen, your God goes ahead of you. And I have this image that he gave me. You know, when a king walks into a room in the fairy tales or in the Disney stories, and there's a bugler who goes, dun, 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 and then the caller comes out. So-and-so, the Duke of Earl. And the whole crowd stops and looks, and the Duke of Earl walks in. Literally, that's what God does for you in the realm of the Spirit. God does that. He goes ahead of you and he announces victory. That's what favor is. He goes ahead of you and he says, he establishes that you will be victorious in this circumstance and situation. But you still have to receive it by faith. You may know, the devil will know who you are, the demon will know who you are, even the people will have a inkling of who you are, but if you don't know who you are, you're going to be like the seven sons of Sceva that get their butt whipped, go out of there naked and bleeding. You have to know who you are. And God goes ahead of you and he announces, you, this man, this woman, my son is coming through the door, whether you're male or female. My son, a co-heir to the kingdom of God, he is walking through the door right now. You treat him right. Well, I wouldn't want God executing vengeance for me. I mean, if I were vengeance on him, no, he's going to take care of those battles. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 31. Remember, God does not change. Moses says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never forsake you nor leave you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Jesus said, lo, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. The Father goes before you. And that guy says, and that doesn't mean that he's looking at you, seeing what direction you're going. He's going in the room going, dun 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 dun. He doesn't go before mindless zealots who charge blindly to an ever-changing trumpet blast. He goes ahead of you on the path that he has chosen, which is discerned by the Spirit. And when you're led of the Spirit, the sons of God are not revealed only by their deeds and actions, but by the proclamation of the Father. Praise the Lord. He goes before you. The children of Israel followed the Lord. They visually could see him because he was a pillar during the day, a cloud that kept the harmful sun off them in the middle of the desert. And he was a pillar of fire that lit their way at night. And that's what the God the Father does for you. He literally goes before you. And before the foundation of the world, he prepared good things in advance for you to do. And he announced, my son is getting ready to walk into this business deal, and he's going to come out on the top. When you know who you know that you are, praise the Lord, God's favor goes before you. Guys, this is one of this picture that I'm sharing with you that I see of myself when I'm standing in faith is God's favor goes before me. His angels are on the right and the left, and his glory is my rear guard. I'm encapsulated. I'm totally, it's nothing to do with my faith because God's all around me and he's in me. So, you know, where I'm walking for a certain, demons just got to move. They got to get uncomfortable. I've had that happen when I'm meditating on these things. I'll walk into a store, whether it's Hy-Vee or Dolls or Walmart, and I'll walk in and you know somebody's being pestered by a demon and they'll just turn around because they know you stepped in. It's not you. It's the presence of God in you and around. Everybody say around. It's one thing to know he's in you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But he is totally surrounded you for victory. I can live in the present in any circumstance and situation. When I'm standing with this image that God's given me on the inside, there is nothing that can take me down. And if I hesitate to commune with the Father, and I find myself doing natural things, and I get clipped from the side or from the back, and I go down. You know what? The Word of God says I can go down, but I'm going to get up seven times. And the Lord's going to keep me from being injured on the way down. And whatever I thought I lost in that fall, God is going to restore seven times. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. So we find that God literally goes before you and announces victory. Listen, that's what Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-I means. Jehovah Nissi, the self-existing one that goes ahead and proclaims victory. The Lord God, my banner. The banner doesn't follow you and you have to take the land. The banner goes ahead of you. So I've got God proclaiming in banner style victory wherever I'm going that I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid and do not be discouraged. Praise the Lord. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. As God's co-workers. Does anybody have another translation?
Fellow workers.
What other translation? Anybody?
Workers together.
Co-laborers. Huh?
Partners.
Guys, do you realize what this means? I mean, we can go through this and establish it over and over. You'll never be equal with God, but He has made you in His class. He chooses to work with you. Huh? He chooses to partner with you. Amen. He chooses to call you a fellow worker. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's such a privilege and an honor to be a king under the King. Amen. To be a royal priesthood to Him. To be a son. I mean, to be in His family. That's what Jesus got. They tried to crucify Him for, because He was saying He was God's Son, which made Him to them equal to God. No, He's God's Son. Never will be the Father. As God's co-workers, we urge you to don't receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I am going to hear you.
Heard.
No, because His favor already went before you. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of your salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is a day of salvation. Everybody say now. That's present. You're not going to be victorious. You are. Look here. This is one of my favorite passages, and I didn't even know this is where it was from. His warring angels are on the right and the left of you. The glory of the Lord is your rear guard. My goodness. I would be happy with a cherubim with a little Valentine bow. Because if he's part of the kingdom of God, he's one tough little midget with wings. Come on. But this is a warring angel. These guys are big. One of them in one night killed over 230,000 people in the old covenant. Enemies that rose up. One rose up against Israel, killed 230,000 warring angels. You don't have some weak, wristed, spineless, yellow-bellied angel. You've got one with the armor of God intended not to protect but to war. You walk into a room, you just don't have that little angel up here saying, don't do this, don't do this. You've got two giant spiritual beings that came from the throne room of God, came from the commander of the armies of heaven, Jesus Christ, sent Him and assigned them both to you to war on your behalf. That's why the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You walk into a room, God had already gone and said, dun, 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 dun. No, He has. And these two angels walk in. And you know what I'd be saying if I were somebody on the other side? I'd be saying, who is this that deserves this kind of attention? Who is this that God is so mindful of him that he has come in and announced he was coming? And then he puts two of the most powerful beings ever created assigned to his well-being. Wow. When I start thinking like that, I can live victoriously in the prison right now. And when I walk out of a room, they see something else. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. When I walk out of a room, when you walk out of a room, what do the eyes of those who perceive spiritual things see? They see the glory of the Lord. His goodness. That's what the Bible just said. His warring angels are to the right and to the left, and His glory is your rear guard. So, okay, hold on. We talk about shields of faith, and those things are good, but now who can penetrate the hedge that God has built around you? Back before there were covenants, there was a man named Job, the oldest book in the Bible. And he was a righteous man and made sacrifices unto God, not only for himself, but for his children's children. How did he learn that? He learned that through Adam Cain who killed Abel, so he learned that through Seth and all the way down. You know, Noah was his grandson. He was up in that line. But Job was a righteous man. But Satan comes in, he says, you know, Job only, he only loves you and he only professes you because you've put a hedge around him, an impenetrable hedge. And we can't mess with him. We can't kill him, we can't steal from him, we can't destroy. You have that hedge. God's placed it around you. God's in the front, God's in the back, and angels on the right and the left. What keeps the hedge effective in your life? Faith. A position that you see in the spiritual part of who you are, that you allow to begin to transform your thinking and your actions with. Last scripture, Proverbs 16:7. Have you ever had a relative that, no matter what you do, can never see you better than the worst you ever were? Come on. Have you ever had a brother or sister that, no matter what you've accomplished in life, that they just see you at your, they just talk about your weakest point in your life, you know? Maybe you're on Skid Row, maybe you got arrested, maybe you went financially bankrupt, and that's all they ever talk about, even though you've come out of all those things. You know, there are people that are motivated by the devil. There are people that they're just led by a different spirit to want to irritate you and agitate you. And you could beat yourself up in your head trying to figure out, how do I spin this? Or you could rest in the scripture. It says, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, is he pleased with you? Mm-hmm. Yes. He causes their enemies to make peace with them. I love it when I don't love the things that are said, but I love it when somebody comes in and say, you know, I was wrong. I don't know if you know this, but I was mad at you for the last 7 years. I said things about you for the last 5 years. Why? I don't care. Because they're all going to come and make peace with me because God's Word says so. So I don't have to just worry. I don't have to worry about where I'm at. I can live victoriously where I'm at. And I don't have to worry about what other people are saying because, you know, my ways are pleasing to Him because of what Jesus did. And even the things that I can't see are being taken care of. My enemies are fighting God to the point God will win, that they're going to make peace with me. Does that make sense? Why should I worry and why should I fear? All I got to do is cast my care over on the Lord. I've got to walk in the now, in eternity, right now, and be victorious. I don't have to worry about what somebody's saying down in Oskaloosa. I don't have to worry about what somebody's saying up in Minneapolis. I don't have to worry about the people that came to church and couldn't handle the message. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Because if they choose to oppose God, what did God say? Your enemies will be my enemies. Those who curse you. I had this happen the other day. You guys want to hear? Because I like to put flesh on the gospel. I do. If you can't see flesh on the anointing, then Caleb and I was letting him for the first time use a red box machine. We had got a red box online and we went up here to 31st and Forest. And so there's one spot right in front of the red box machine. And Caleb wanted to go up by himself. Well, I wanted to watch. I wanted to make sure he's going to be okay. So I pulled into the handicapped spot and put on my hazards because it's right in front. And Caleb's up there, and all of a sudden I noticed Caleb's face just got really like he was afraid. And he points at this guy behind us that was cussing him out. Cussing out my little boy. Whoa. I rolled down the window. I said, excuse me. He said, I have a handicap sticker. And you're not handicapped. Get out of the spot. Well, I did. I got out of the truck. And I walked right up to his window, and I recognized him. He was a guy that had come to church once or twice, and, you know, just no integrity. And I walked up to his window, and I said, you going to talk to a pastor that way? Smiled at him. He said, you aren't my pastor. I said, I'm just watching my son get his DVD, and then we'll be on our way. So he pulls away. And he comes in, and as Caleb and I are getting back in the truck, I stay out there with Caleb. I open the door for him, make sure that this guy's not who. And he's walking by. And this was the ornery part I shouldn't have said because he was shuffling right along, you know. I said, boy, you sure do look handicapped there. Well, come on. I think he could outrun me.
Yeah.
Might have been a different kind. I don't know. And he said, bad things are going to happen because I just cursed you in the name of Jesus. And I walked right over to the door he was going in and I said, you have no power because you have no integrity. And I walked away. I don't have to worry about what he thinks he's going to do. I don't have to, I was tempted for a minute, to worry about making sure somebody was on the campus that night so some fire did. I don't have to worry about that because right here it says that God will cause my enemies to be at peace with me. If I pick it up, it's going to energize him. If I let it go and it's in God's hand, I'm all right and everything that's under my household and authority is all right. Fear's a sneaky little booger. You just get in fear's face and you try to do it in love. Just don't add that. I should have said that one thing. I know I shouldn't have. Praise the Lord. Psalms 91. Turn to Psalms 91, last scripture. Well, you know, listen, if you think that we all walk this thing out just perfectly, you're wrong. We are being perfected. So if I tell you my mess ups and where I, you know, my... Y'all can't even see Jesus picking a booger. I know it. Psalms 91. So let me tell you about me then. That's what I'm trying to say so you can see the gospel working despite my weaknesses. Psalms 91, verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge and make the Most High your dwelling place. I just gave you a picture of that. God goes before you. His glory is behind you. His angels are on either side. It's my dwelling place. Come on. I'm not sitting in heaven. I'm right here on earth. And He's with me.
Yeah.
You know, through the Holy Ghost and Lord Jesus Christ is in me. God the Father goes ahead of me. His glory is my rear guard. And I got angels, warring angels to the right and to the left of me. He is my dwelling place. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels, come on boys, concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because He loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Yeah.
With long life, God satisfies me, and with strength and riches and honor, that I might live out my days. All I got to do is make Him my dwelling place. Not in attitude all the time being on my knees, but as I'm walking through life, I see I have an entourage of the Holy of Holies with me. If I go into an airport and I'm getting ready to go to a country where it's questionable safety, I've got an entourage. If I'm preaching in India or Pakistan where it's illegal to preach and I'm sitting and I'm talking to 30,000 people that are, who knows what's in their heart, I got an entourage. If I'm going down to City Hall and I've got to talk to them about things they think that we should do that we shouldn't do because I haven't seen it in my spirit, I have an entourage that's going with me. All of my counsel, all of my protection, God Himself before me and behind me, how can I lose? That's the way we can live victoriously in the present. Amen. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that You've given us this morning. We thank You that we can live victoriously right now in the present. We thank You that You're with us, in us, around us, encapsulating us with victory, with Your Spirit, and with power. Lord, I pray that this message brings about the revelation in the hearts and the lives of those who hear it, how special they are to You, and how much You're a part of everything that we do. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I need to ask this question. If you need Jesus in your life this morning, You receive Him just like you receive all the blessings we talked about. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If that's you this morning, and we want to pray with you, just lift your hand. Nobody's looking around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and put your hand on your heart with me, everybody? We're going to make a good confession to the Lord. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a full-fledged Son of God. I am a royal priesthood. I'm a king under the King. I'm an ambassador from heaven. God lives in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. God goes before me, announces victory for me. I got angels on the right and angels on the left. They protect me in all my ways. God's glory protects my back end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even my enemies must be at peace with me. I live in victory now, in the present. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my provider, my protector, the lover of my soul, my King, and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. I believe some people are going to break through now. Just keep that alive in your heart.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.